Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we are looking at this massive sociological report on China's Dazi culture. I mean, imagine ordering a friend off a menu exactly like you would order a side of fries.
Right. It is a wild concept.
You want someone to spot you at the gym or maybe split a meal with, but you want absolutely zero emotional baggage on the side.
Yeah, you just skip the heavy expectations entirely. Mm-hmm. I mean, originally Dazi was just Shanghai slang for card-playing buddies. But now Gen Z has turned it into this hyper-specific, precise companionship.
And the reason it is exploding like this comes down to, honestly, pure exhaustion.
Oh, totally. We talk a lot about the crushing weight of the 996 work culture there and the urban isolation. Young people just do not have the bandwidth to maintain traditional demanding friendships.
Right, because traditional friendship is heavy. You have to remember birthdays or listen to them vent about their boss.
Yeah, exactly. And sociologists actually call this liquid modernity. We have basically traded in rigid, lifelong communities for fluid, temporary ones. People are actively seeking out these transient, utility-driven relationships just to avoid the emotional tax.
Okay, let's unpack this, though. The report calls it interface-style socializing, right?
Interface-style.
Like you and a stranger connect like two software APIs to do a specific function, maybe go to an art exhibit, and then you cleanly disconnect. Zero mutual disturbance. But I have to ask, are we just seeing the McDonaldization of intimacy, like optimizing human connection until it is literally just fast food?
Well, I mean, it feels pretty bleak if you look at it that way. But yeah, a lot of researchers actually defend this. They see it as a really sophisticated form of emotional resource management.
Interesting. Emotional resource management.
Yeah, like young people are hoarding their finite emotional bandwidth for a very small, curated circle of true friends and outsourcing the casual companionship. Plus, this massive survey showed that 86.4% of users say their Dazi partnerships actually upgraded into genuine friendships.
Wait, really? Over 86%.
Yeah, a huge majority.
So it is basically a low-risk vetting system. You test the waters over a hike before you commit to actually caring about them.
Well, it can be a vetting system. But, you know, for a lot of users, turning it into a real friendship is almost viewed as a failure of the design.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the temporary nature isn't just a stepping stone, it's the entire goal.
Mm-hmm.
And finding that exact temporary match relies on crazy sophisticated digital architecture. Platforms like Xiaohongshu use this interest graph algorithm.
Okay, how does that work?
It doesn't care who your mutual friends are. It continuously maps your hyper-specific search queries to match you with a perfect stranger wanting the exact same niche experience.
Here is where it gets really interesting, though. This algorithmic matchmaking has birthed a massive companion gig economy, which is on track to exceed 50 billion RMB.
Oh, yeah. It is a huge industry now.
You can literally hire Mount Tai climbing companions. For 75 RMB, a university student will carry your bags, take professional photos, and act as your emotional cheerleader all the way up the mountain.
Which sounds great. But these paid companions, whether they are hiking or acting as medical escorts, are operating in a totally unregulated legal gray zone.
Right. They rely completely on algorithms for visibility and have zero basic employment protections.
None at all. And because these companions are essentially treated as customer service, it breeds this dangerous sense of entitlement. This is where treating humans like a transaction gets dark.
Yeah, because if you ordered an a la carte friend for a hike and they disagree on the route, you don't compromise.
Exactly. You treat them like a defective product. And this dynamic is leading to intense cyberbullying over just minor logistical disagreements.
That makes perfect sense. If you are used to these daily disposable relationships, the moment their utility expires, you just delete them.
Right.
So what does this all mean for you listening? I mean, it makes you wonder how much of your own social burnout you could cure if you adopted these strict boundaries.
Totally. But it is also a very quick way to lose the capacity for empathy and unconditional support, which is pushing us toward what the report calls the AI spiritual shareholder.
AI spiritual shareholder. Why use the word shareholder?
Well, it is called a shareholder because the AI holds a stake in your daily emotional life. It invests time in listening to your problems and validating your feelings.
But unlike a human, it never demands emotional dividends in return.
Exactly. It never needs you to listen to its problems. So a massive number of youth are already relying on these customized AI agents for deep emotional dialogue, simply because they do not require reciprocal emotional labor.
If we start treating all human connection like a menu, ordering exactly what we want when we want it, and relying on AI for the heavy lifting, will we eventually lose the patience required for the messy, unoptimized reality of actual human empathy? I mean, if friendship becomes fast food, we might just forget how to crypt the meal ourselves.